Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis.
I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris. Yeah.
You remember we used to do this back in the day in the beginning?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
It's been a while. Yeah. But we did do it a couple weeks ago.
And as in podcasting.
Yes.
Yeah. It. Podcasting.
Yes. We didn't do that. We also.
Blushing.
I do declare, I got the vapors. All right, so, season 7, Walking Dead.
Oh, that's happening. I forgot about that.
Yes. Yeah. We talked about that because it's a pretty big deal, right?
Are any of you listeners left there after this season premiere of The Walking Dead?
I'm sure they are. Yeah, it was an enjoyable episode. I thought we did a good job.
I figured after the episode, The Walking Dead show, not our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Walking Dead, like, you know, everybody complained, oh, they fucked up the end of the season finale, but I'm not watching this
apparently,
shit.
Apparently, that's a thing. Then people rage quit.
12 million people saw it or something?
Yeah.
So, yep. We'll see how many
it's
of
still
those...
like the highest rated show ever or whatever. Yeah. So, okay. So that was that. We took a week off. Oh, last week was Halloween. So, we had, you know, everything going else on. So it was like we took a break off. So we figured, okay, how about we'll do 2 episodes, and if this works out, maybe we'll do
every
2 weeks or whatever the case may be. But this week, we're going to do episodes 2 and 3 of Walking Dead, give our thoughts and recap of that. But before we do that,
this week,
and you know, today in particular, there's been quite a few bits of pop culture goodness all around.
Today was a productive damn day.
Ah, man, there's some good news.
Hit me with something.
All right, right off the bat, for me, I think for you too, one of the most requested shows that got canceled to come back,
Silk Stockings.
Oh, that one too, but that's one. My petition is still going on for that one.
Okay.
No, this one actually came through. Warner Brothers announced today.
Wait, Warner Brothers did something right?
Yes, my friend.
I'm gonna have to take that with a big grain of salt.
You can take all the salt you want, shove it in your ass. We are talking Young Justice Season 3.
What?
I said Young Justice Season 3.
Wow. Hell hath frozen over.
I don't care. Good. Bad. Yeah. Whatever. Is this a...
Hopefully it's released before The Purge.
I was about to say, was this the last act of Obama? Before I leave, you shall have Season 3 of Young Justice.
Oh,
thanks,
man.
Obama. All right, so, man, this is really cool. Even before this was on Netflix, when this show was airing live, this show, I was hooked almost instantaneously on this show. Very good show. I've been a fan of DC Animation television for going back to the Batman animated series.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough act to follow on its own.
It is. Yeah. And I dare say, Young Justice, it's up there with Batman animated series.
Really?
It is up there, man. It is that good. I know a lot of people give it a lot of crap for season 2 because they jumped 5 years and it was kind of a different thing. But it all connected. Like everything, the finale of the first season, I'm not going to give away any spoilers just in case you want to go back on Netflix and check it out. And that's the reason why it got season 3 is because of all Netflix, the views on Netflix. And apparently it's going to be on Netflix. Like, season 3 is going to be a Netflix original thing. So
that's good. I mean, Netflix on the animated side is getting successful, too. I mean, Voltron already got renewed for a second season. And that's another catalyst that's between that and how the new Power Rangers movie could really push a Voltron live movie. And a lot of that's because of momentum through Netflix. And then not to mention Marvel in general's footprint that Netflix is leaving behind.
I mean, this is you know, Marvel DC permeating throughout all pop culture. I even remember it was like probably 2 years ago. There was a petition. I don't do these online. I don't do these online petitions. But this one, I saw how many people were already signing up for the petition. If I gotta put my name on there, yeah. I'm not ashamed to say it. I petitioned to get this show back. So for me, this is very exciting because it's. I even remember where it left off, and I'm not going to say where it left off on, because, again,
though, animation issues. You know, normally a lot of shows, a lot of animated series don't make it past the third season because toys need to be refreshed or storylines get stale.
Right.
So already season 2 of Young Justice, the way it ended, how much optimism do you have for a new season knowing that this is the terrible 3 as far as the seasons
this,
go.
For me, this is kind of, I would think, for especially for DC Marvel territory, this is uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. But it's not unheard of. Matter of fact, if you look back history of other shows that happened, they've gone on to prosper from being restarted again. Look at Futurama. Look Family at Guy. Family Guy. Those are two prime examples I would go to on that.
Yeah.
So maybe this isn't a terrible three. And it looks like, you know, the when the original run started, it was because of toys. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to sell toys. I don't see
Is Teen Titans Go doing that bad that they had to bring back Young Justice?
That's not even a thing. I don't even see toys being an issue with this. This is strictly fan
service from Netflix.
Yeah.
This is like The Tick, but animated version, basically.
Right. Pretty much, yeah. This is... I don't think this is going to tie in. So if it does good, I can see him doing more shows. You know? So, anyway. Bottom line, I'm down for this. I'm excited for it. God, yeah, dude, that's all I can say. Maybe we'll do an episode of Young Justice whenever it does come out, man. So that was just the one bit of news that we got today.
The countdown's going for me.
Yes.
We're recording today on Monday. So Monday, right. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 4 more days before the re-release, sort of the original NES console is being redone, the classic version. It's 30 games on a updated console. Let's just crunch the math. $5 a game on the Wii U or the Wii Store online to buy all these classic NES games. You're dropping $150.
Dude, not only that, I've already been watching reviews online of this thing. People are even saying this is a better emulator than the Wii. Would you download? It just like it blows that away.
Because
so.
The games on the Wii and the Wii U, they pretty much just got the old I forget the acronym, but it's DTV or something, or the CRT versions, and they just uploaded it up.
Right.
So, and the depending on what resolution you're using on your TV, that's how you can make it look like it used to. Mm-hmm. But now you have the Pixel Perfect, which is 1080p because it has an HDMI hookup.
Right.
You can do the
The CRT,
the 16x4, like, the 16x4 ratio, the 4x3 ratio, or you can do the old legit fat tube CRT version.
Right, man.
But
dude, everything about this, dude. Have you seen some videos of it? How the menu screen looks, and you can check. I love the fact that now not only are these damn near like perfect emulations of these games, it's official from Nintendo. There's no lag in the controlling because it's not wireless, so it's you're not gonna have any lag in playing the game. The added features that we gamers growing up with didn't have, as far as like being able to save your games. Fuck. Oh, dude,
if you didn't invest 2 hours in trying to beat Mega Man 2, you were never gonna beat Mega Man 2. So now you can. Well, passwords kind of sort of, but still, like now it's even easier. They're using the reset button.
Genius. So,
but well. You know, the millennials have to complain because if you have to get up and break a bead of sweat, then it sucks. But yeah, you get up, you press the reset button, that's your save point.
And you know what?
And there's at least 4 save points on every game as far as what I saw on the menu.
Yeah, there's 4 save points. The funny thing is, like, I appreciate the fact that you have to get up to hit the reset button.
Attention to detail?
Attention to detail. Like, if you played in NES, if you grew up in the 80s, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You had to get up off your ass and go there and hit a button every once in a while.
You know what? I wouldn't even be mad if it fucked with me when I first plugged it into the computer. I hit the power button and it's like all red.
Yes.
I was like, oh shit. And then like you just like take it up and you blow under the whole console just, you know, for nostalgia's sake. One part that you didn't know until I told you this pre-tape, the other added feature, they're bringing back the power line this weekend only. It's automated, but they're still going to give you tips on how to beat levels that you might have forgotten.
Are you call it?
And probably just I never got to do it when I was a kid.
Even in this day and age of Wikipedia and all these game facts, all this other stuff, you'd still call?
And I know, don't let the tattoos fool you. I have not played every game that's on this 30-game console.
Yeah.
You know, so there's games like I wasn't a big fan. Like, I kind of muddled through the first Zelda. I never touched the second one.
It's an acquired taste.
I've dabbled in a little bit of Kirby, but never enough for me to want to, like, beat it from start to finish. Mm-hmm. Castlevania, but
Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest.
But yeah, like finally, like the palette's there for me to play with and like dabble with the brush and see what stuff.
You know, it's so funny because we were talking about this and you said that the Super Famicom or the Famicom is coming out. It's the same thing, but
it's the same style basically. So it's like this. It's good. It's shrunk down to kind of mimic the same size as the NES version that they're releasing here in the States. But the concept is the same. Like the old Famicom had the two controllers that were wired and they were stuck to the console, and you actually had slots in them to actually put the controllers in there. Well, the concept's the same. The controllers are probably going to be about that big. Hmm. So Donald Trump will be the only one that can play it. But there's specific games in the Japanese version that we're not getting. I think there's a sumo wrestling game on there. A couple of more. I think karate is on there. But more importantly for me, I'm a huge River City Ransom fan. And not only is the first one going to be there, again, 1080p with HDMI cable, also River City Ransom number 2, which I never even knew existed until I saw the trailer for the Japanese version for the Famicom. So the NES will be nice for me to like have and to have people over to play, but the Famicom's going to be this nice little gem I'm going to have right there on the coffee table.
Conversation piece.
Yeah.
You know what? You had me at sumo. No, here's the thing, though. And the reason I brought that up was because you were talking about the Famicom and River City and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, dude, these 30 games, that's going to keep me occupied for a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo games, they're not easy.
Oh, dude, I love the video. There's videos of like kids listening to things that now that we loved back in the day. And one of them was a kid trying to play Mega Man 2.
Yeah.
And they're like masters at fucking Call of Duty, Mass Effect, and like Halo. And you give them Mega Man 2 on the NES with the controller that big, and they're like dying like 30 seconds in. And they're like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And I was like, you son of a man. These kids.
And that's another thing that's coming up this week, this Friday, Veterans Day. It's coming out. I think it's Friday, right? Yeah. So I think we're off that day, so we might...
I'm waiting in line. I've already called it. I'm going to be waiting at Best Buy like maybe 30 minutes before the doors open down the street by the house and just to get my hands on one and hold it tight. I might be able to go to somebody's house for a bit and test drive it if they don't get their hands on one.
I like the way you think.
Yeah.
Is it Amples off that day? No.
Yeah.
All right. So, so that was one thing. Another big reveal, if you're a video game fan, if you've seen our very first Pop Culture Rewind episode way back.
Oh, that video game one.
We talked about video game franchises and whatnot, our favorite ones. My favorite franchise is Mass Effect. I've said that. I've gone on record saying that.
Several times. Travis Shepard over here.
Yes, thank you. If you know Mass Effect, you know N7. You know that it's N7 days. Mass Effect Day is November 7th. They always have some kind of big reveal, trailer, announcements, all this stuff. This year is no different. They announced today. The new trailer came out for Andromeda.
Oh,
and it is so pretty. just
they got you.
Shut up and take my money. They got me. They got me, bitch. I'm upgrading my TV to a 4K for this.
Just for that?
Don't tell my wife.
Yeah, you can take mushrooms before you play and probably get the same effect.
Well, I can't do both.
Oh. I guess I know where I'm coming.
Oh, man. If you haven't checked out the trailer for it, just YouTube it, Mass Effect Andromeda. Man, it's so good. And the funny thing is, because it's a whole new saga, everything's different from the first one, we don't really know what all to expect from it, mm-hmm. other than what we're seeing on the trailers, and right now it looks really good. So that's all I gotta say about that. It's awesome.
Speaking of teasers, the show that got my foot into the anime door, Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
Huge Dragon Ball Z fan. Mm-hmm. And then after that, GT that nobody talks about.
The unofficial sequel.
Yeah.
It's like the Gargoyles Goliath Chronicles. You don't do it. You don't mention it.
It's like
Beast Machines.
Mario 2.
Mario 2.
Well, because Lost Levels was too hard for us dumb Americans, so they gave us Mario 2.
It was really hard.
I still haven't beaten it. Dragon Ball Super has been in Japan for about a year now.
Right. Once they started the movies again, right?
The movies had Battle of the Gods here. And then the sequel, Resurrection F, with Frieza, Gold Frieza. And but throughout all of that, they've been airing Dragon Ball Super in Japan. Funimation announced today. Today?
No, it wasn't today.
Yesterday?
The 4th?
A couple days ago.
They're, whatever. Recently.
They're having an official dub release here in the States soon.
They're trying to get some of the, you know, the voice cast that we... That we know.
Oh yeah, if they stick to the core from the Dragon Ball Z movies that we've had here, which is pretty much the same core.
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't be able to get them.
Yeah,
it's their not
to
mention
they've been chomping at the bit to touch it too. So yeah. I would say, who would want to say no to that? But yeah, it's coming, it's coming. Yeah, I can't wait because I've seen bits and pieces of what's going on. I've tried to understand the Japanese stuff and it just leaves me hungry. I don't know. I didn't really get much of it, but I like where it's going. I like where it's at right now, and it's. I can't wait to watch it in English so I can finally understand what the fuck's going on.
As long as I from what I understand, it's going to be available on Crunchyroll. It's already available on Crunchyroll as subtitled, but not dubbed.
But not voice dubbed.
Because they're still working on it. They haven't done it yet. So, but I have Crunchyroll. I have the free version of it where there's ads and stuff. Which, do you have Crunchyroll?
Or, I have too. For somebody that doesn't have internet in their apartment, I have too many subscriptions. But I only have two, and I feel like it's too many. So, even if it's free,
that's the way I go, man. I I got Netflix, I got WWE Network, I got Hulu, I got well, those are the ones I pay for, but everything else is pretty much free.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Crunchyroll, it's I watched a few things on Crunchyroll, and it's here's the thing I don't like about the ads. It's like it's not like you know when you're watching a show and you can tell when it's going to fade out to commercial break and then it comes back. That's where that's where an ad should go, right? Mm-hmm. This thing, you're like watching it, and like mid-sentence, cuts off to an ad.
Really?
And then it comes back into the show. It's like, man.
Mid-sentence? I mean, because a lot of the Japanese episodes, like they don't have the traditional fade in like the U.S. does. Like I've seen French television, and Japanese television, and it just like splices in and out.
Right.
But it's done timely. Like it doesn't like interrupt the middle of a scene or something for it to like. Just
That's how Crackle is. You know, you've heard of Crackle?
Yeah, I've heard.
That's how they are too. Like they'll just cut a fucking ad like right smack in the middle of somewhere, and it's
really?
Just like, man, come on. There's another one that's on the PS4. Popcorn Flix, I think they do the same thing. Where it's like they don't.
Flixster, is it Flixster?
That's one of them. Popcorn Flix, I think, is the one I'm thinking of. But yeah, it's just, they won't wait for like where a commercial break should be or a break in a scene. Not a commercial break, but just a scene ends and another one. No, it's like mid scene, mid sentence, whatever. Cut it. Let's go. You know, this throws me out of.
Get you out of the
mood. It makes me not want to finish. You know, it's like come on. There was a matter of fact. I was watching something on it was on one of the things on the Roku I just got. I was trying to watch. It was a cartoon episode. It was like 23 minutes long. From beginning to end, there's 18 ads.
God dang!
There was three breaks of five ads each, and before the episode even started, there was three.
Were there 30 seconds an ad? Or were they 15 seconds an ad?
I don't know. They didn't have like a count on it, so I don't know. I just know, and it was the same five ads over and over again. So it's like, that's anyway. That's sad. But ads are ads. What are you gonna do? Hey, let me ask you something. What do you think of when I say Oakley Dokley?
Ned Flanders.
Why are we talking about Ned Flanders?
Oh, sweet Jesus! So this has been teased for a couple of weeks now.
It has. It's the first I've heard of it. So.
There's a brand new death metal. Let me finish the sentence. Death metal band that's a tribute to Ned Flanders, and the band is called Oakley Dokley.
Put the horns up.
Yeah. They released the first single on YouTube. Because
when I think of Ned Flanders, I think of death metal. That's
they released the first video today in the show. And it's called White Wine Spritzer. Bonus points for any of you that know where that. Phrase comes from White Wine Spritzer.
Is that it?
Do you remember where that phrase comes from?
Is that from a Simpsons episode?
Yes. Do you remember where exactly he said it?
I'm not gonna
know. You don't know? Okay. I'll let you think about that. We'll come back to it in a couple of weeks.
We're not going to come back to that.
We will. Oh, we will. Yeah.
I could probably Google it right now.
One of the tracks on the pre-order, it's called Godspeed Little Doodle.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you remember where that comes from?
I don't know.
Ah! Man, how does this friendship survive? But yeah, it's coming soon, and it's like some of our listeners between Houston Rest Radio and Pop Culture that are into like the heavy metal stuff, We've been like, just laughing about it all fucking day. It's freaking hilarious. And I already pre-ordered it. Like, I have no shame. I have no shame whatsoever. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got my attention for it for damn sure. But anyway, so I think that's going to put a little end mark on this pop culture topics for right now. Okay. So that brings us to Walking Dead. Like I said, we recapped the first gut-wrenching episode 2 weeks ago. So
I still ate Popeyes after that, so it didn't affect me. No.
Me too. okay, so episode 2, entitled The Well. I think the previews pretty much told you what this is going to be about. Because of all the stuff that happened in the first episode, we never found out what happened with Carol and Morgan.
Rightfully so. I mean, you have an episode... For all intents and purposes, you're going to end the season with a cliffhanger like that. You have to devote, and with all the uproar from the audience, whether good or bad, you had to have made sure that you tied up all your loose ends with the first episode.
Right.
So I understand completely why there was no.
I agree. I don't fault them for it at all.
Yeah.
And so far, these first three episodes, to their credit, has all been self-contained. They're not going back and forth on anything.
They haven't lost me. For all the hate that people gave about the way the last season ended, the numbers for the season premiere slaughtered all the competition. And these two episodes have kept me in also. So it's not like there's no buyer's remorse as far as sticking around with this show, regardless of what it is.
I think TMZ, I saw a clip where they ran into Michael Rooker. And it was funny because they asked him about people rage quitting watching the show. Like, all these people are threatening, or they're just going to say they're going to stop watching, whatever. And he flat out said, it's like, he said, they should have been watching from the start. You know? Mm-hmm. And hello. It's a horror TV show. Horror television. Horror. Horror.
Oh.
Horror.
Horror. So, like, they're not just regular horrors. They're, like, above nasty. Bloody. So they're horror. Yeah.
Bloody horrors.
Eventually, when you're done with them, maybe. Ugh.
Yeah.
Smell like a rare steak.
Back on track. All right. So
you drink from the well, you replenish the well.
Yes.
That was the whole theme of the kingdom.
This is true, yes.
First impression of the kingdom.
Let's get into this. The kingdom so far, it's just a community right now. The episode starts off with Carol waking up. Morgan is by her side and everything. And I was thinking, you know, because for a second I kind of forgot from last season they've had their issues. You know, they're not best of friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he didn't have like a conscience, I don't think, to help her. He didn't need to redeem himself or anything. It was just like it was the right thing to do, and he didn't want to see her kind of go out and, you know.
It's a clash of ideologies between Carol and Morgan. How they think it should go.
Right.
And it's like Morgan's trying to win Carol over, and Carol's like just ready to throw in the towel. And I think that's the common thread between this episode, season number two, and episode number three. We'll get to a little bit. I think the common thread is, at least from my opinion, people are slowly starting to like just say, you know what, death can't be this bad.
Yeah,
you know, you've made it this long, you've seen six seasons of what all these people have been through. At some point, you know what, death sounds like a kind of cool vacation.
Yeah, like you said, we'll get that here in the next episode. Yeah. Because that does come up. Okay, they're still trying to get past all their issues that they had, and she's in a wheelchair still recovering. He's kind of walking her through the community.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of get the layout. And so far, everything looks, it's just like another community they've seen before. You know,
see how long that lasts. I mean, we've seen Alexandria.
Right.
We've seen Terminus.
Did you immediately think of those whenever you saw this?
Yeah, everybody? I was like, I'm waiting for the rotten apple to just fuck everything up. And I was like, oh, they have a tiger? I'm gonna reserve my judgment.
Even, I can't remember the name of it, but the governor's town, I can't remember the name of that little neighborhood, the little street that they
had. Yeah, Woodbury.
Woodbury
is what I meant to say instead of Alexandria.
Yeah,
Woodbury.
Well, Alexandria too. I mean, that was a white picket fence, you know, type situation. So
behind a shitload of walls.
Yeah, right. So yeah, we've seen this multiple times, you know, in the show that just because it looks nice doesn't really mean it's going to stay like that. Something's going to happen to this kingdom, at some point in the season.
You said that, as we've seen this before, like, it feels like a revolving door of Groundhog's Day with all these, with the scenarios. At what point do you actually start to think, well, what else are they going to give me that's going to keep me to watch this show?
I think they already did it for me on this episode. We'll get to that here in just a second, because there's a couple things I want to tie into first before we get to that. So Carol's just trying to get the layout of everything. He takes her to see Ezekiel, the
King Ezekiel.
King Ezekiel. Oh, by the way, forgot to mention, he has a pet tiger. A pet tiger. Shiva.
Yeah. And this is not make-believe. This isn't something... This isn't like Daryl, the character that they made up just for this show. This is from the book. 100% from the book. That King Ezekiel and Shiva exist.
Legit exist. I'm not caught up with the comics, so I'm way behind.
I've been in and out, too. Like, there's times where I kill time and I go to Bedrock City and I thumb through whatever's there. So, in and out, I've been... I know a couple... I'm relevant. I'm cognizant of a couple of things that are going on. And obviously... Ezekiel and Shiva are legit from the book. This isn't something. This isn't like Fear the Walking Dead. They're just making it up to see if you like it.
Yeah.
So
what? Well, what do you think? Since you already have a preconceived notion of King Ezekiel,
I like the fact that that he's actually came forward already with his story.
Yeah, they didn't waste any time past this episode.
Answering the question that I presented earlier, I think it's character development that makes us stay on the show regardless of how the same scenarios are, because I was like with Carol's, like, all right, this guy's like Black Thor. Like,
I love her reaction. She's like she's already literally laughing at this dude. It's like, okay, fine, sure, whatever you say, King Ezekiel. which, by the way, I wanted to mention about Ezekiel, the actor Kerry Payton. Mm-hmm. Which I've always heard the name because I'm a fan of his. He actually does voice work for a lot of DC animation stuff. Young Justice. He's a Young Justice alumni. He played Aqualad and Black Manta. He's a main cast member.
I knew the voice sounded familiar.
The voice sounded familiar. The name sounded... I was like, I don't know the name.
Carrie with an H? I think I've seen that somewhere in credits before.
Because he did that. And also on the movie side of things, he did Cyborg. He did the voice of Cyborg in the Justice League animated movie. So,
okay.
Yeah, I knew the guy. So I know the guy who knows the guy, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so at first you kind of think he's kind of crazy, you know, because he's calling himself a king and he's got a pet tiger and... Of course, Carol has the right reaction to have. And of course, she's like, these people are going to, they're going to get killed, being behind this guy. I'm out of here. See ya. Yeah. I don't want any part of this. Which, when I first was seeing her reaction, I got it, but I was kind of like, man, I kind of wanted Carol and Morgan to stick together as a team, kind of come together from their differences, and even get with Ezekiel as well, too. And have like this badass like subgroup of fighters that we don't have with the main group, you know, and
Justice League Dark. Basically.
There you go. Yeah, it's got a fucking tiger. I'm waiting for Shiva to unleash on somebody.
Oh man.
So yeah, but she was the whole episode. She's plotting to escape.
To leave,
yeah, you know, she's taking
she's playing
things.
Dumb.
Yeah. And that's
and
her.
Of course, a lot of people there are gullible because they've never been outside, so they don't believe in the alternative, which they don't believe that bad things are really out there. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
So, and case in point, Ezekiel has a deal under the table with Negan's group that the group doesn't know about.
Well, before we get to that, we don't know exactly that. We up until the end of the episode where he's going over his story and everything. I don't know about you, but me, I was like, okay, is he on the up and up or is he like governor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I really, because I, like I said, I didn't read the comics, so I don't know all that about him. It wasn't until the end when you get that explanation. But in between that, you know, Morgan, he's already kind of not part of the group, but he's getting initiated.
He's getting comfortable.
He's getting comfortable. And there was a scene where they say they got to go out and the pigs got out, whatever. They got to get the pigs out. So he goes out with their group of hunters, whatever, and... He finds that what they're doing is they have some walkers hung up, and they're feeding the pigs walker meat, pretty much. They're letting the pigs eat on the walkers.
Yeah, extra toasty.
Right, yeah, yeah. And I was like, okay, so this is bad, right? They're doing something to hurt, you know, why would they be doing that? And even Morgan's like, what's going on, you know? So, cut to later on when they say we have to go. You know, we have to meet up with these people. So we're going over there. When that other car pulled up and people started, did you already know that was going to be Negan's group, or when did you start figuring out right when it happened? Or?
You know what, that part when it, if it was Negan's group, it didn't cross my mind because I was just trying to soak in like all like what's going on. And when I saw the group there, like I didn't really click everything until I realized it was Negan's group. The first thing I thought is, holy shit, is Daryl already with them?
Oh, you're thinking Daryl.
Because I was thinking, all right, they took Daryl. Freaking Negan's like, all right, he's gonna be my new right hand man. I figured he was already at work, okay. So I was like, oh, is this the chance we get a sneak peek at Daryl being like under the influence or whatever, or under the pressure?
Yeah,
and it wasn't, but it wasn't a deal breaker. But still, like the
foundation to establish the fact that even King Ezekiel, the royalty himself, is still he's victim of Negan. He's got to give them whatever, you know, his, you know, Negan has a shopping list, you know,
rotates it within the groups.
Yeah. So, and even the kingdom is, they have to get stuff for Negan too. So their, what's the word I'm looking for? Their offering to Negan is the meat, the pigs, you know, they already had them
skinned and ready to go.
Yeah. Just fed, recently fed. So they're fat and ready to go. And that's when they're like, ha!
He's poisoning them.
Yeah, there you go. So that's something. Ooh, what if Daryl eats?
We'll get to that.
Look at that. So that was kind of cool. That was like a aha light bulb going off. Like, so he's working for Negan, but he doesn't like Negan. So they're trying to upsert Negan himself. So it's kind of cool that we're already, from what we already have established with Negan, we already have saying that other people are influenced by him, but they're trying to sort of revolt against him in a way.
They're planning.
They're planning. Like they're studying. There's people that are plotting against Negan right now. So yeah. Stay tuned for what that's going to lead to.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of pretty much, other than the whole backstory of
the explanation, which makes complete sense. Like I, as an observer watching it for the first time, the whole show, the whole episode. What the fuck did Ezekiel do to get this tiger on him? Like under his control? And then the whole backstory is like, yeah, people look for someone to follow. And Ezekiel played the role because he's a former theater student and he worked at the zoo and Shiva was hurt and he saved Shiva from death and he set her free after the apocalypse and the bond's there. And that explains everything. Right. You know, just a 2-minute instructional video of what,
and
how
all of a sudden,
and that's all it took. And just like that,
it makes sense.
Character development. Yes. Like, I suddenly give a damn about this guy. More importantly, I give a damn about the tiger. But still, like, together, they're a good team.
I got that
from 2 minutes of backstory.
What could be an over-the-top silly character immediately is rectified by a good backstory.
Yes.
And I think that got
Carol's attention.
Carol's, yeah, and now Carol's...
Because I doubt he gave, the way he came across in that dialogue, he doesn't tell that to everybody.
Yeah,
like he knows that Carol's above, she's on a level above where everybody else in the places.
She sees shit.
So she deserves to be led behind the curtain, so to speak.
Yeah,
and she takes him at his word, and at the end they wind up moving. She winds up finding a house where she can be at on her own. You know, Carol's.
Was that in the complex or
that was outside? In the beginning of the episode, where they were trying to get Carol into the compound, they passed the house where they were saved when they were overrun by zombies, and Carol noticed it in the beginning when she was like not all there.
She was hallucinating. Yeah. She was seeing. I guess was that when the zombies were getting killed,
and then they were replaced with people that she knew.
That no, I was thinking that was like she was imagining them as who they were as people before they got turned, and I was like, she's gone, you know.
Yeah.
And inside the house, you know, she saw someone banging on the door. She thought it was a person. She looked again. It was a walker in there. Mm. But what was it? Was there anything in particular about the house? Like, I wasn't too sure.
I don't know if it's the house in particular, but I think Carol now, she spent so much of the time with the group or with a group in general.
Right.
And she was on her own for a while until she came back to the group.
Right.
And I think she's developing right now the kind of vibe where there's times where she can be around people, but sometimes she needs to be on her own.
She's become more of a loner than someone that's to be in a group, you know.
Yeah.
But like I said, dude, as long as she stays with this group, mm-hmm. maybe not off to the side, but like I'm waiting to see that charge, you know, of Ezekiel, Shiva, Carol, and Morgan, and whoever else.
Carol at 100. Not Carol, yes. Like, I don't know if I want to do this right. anymore. Nah, Carol, like, I'm going to cut you, motherfucker. Carol. Yeah. Bitch. Carol killing 12-year-olds. That Carol.
Yeah.
That's the one that needs to be in this fight.
Do you want a cookie?
Yeah.
You
want a cookie? Damn.
You can't tell anybody. All right. So that's very much, that's episode two, right?
Yeah.
So
it was optimistic-ish, regardless of the Negan
stuff. It set the tone.
You had a fucking downer with the season finale, series premiere, that you needed a little coke, a little upper to get you back up on your feet. That was this episode. Then you got the rugs fucking swept under you like a motherfucker with the next episode. The cell.
That's where Daryl's been at this whole time.
Oh.
Now let me ask you.
You wondered when you were asking me before we started recording. I was like, "Hey man, what do you feel like eating tonight? You want chicken? You want pizza? You want burgers?" I didn't react to the burgers. That's why.
I don't want McDonald's.
Between the horse meat in Mexico and the dog meat that was in fucking Daryl's burgers, I'm laying off for a bit. Yeah. No, not good. Well, the beginning with Dwight making his own fancy fucking Panera bread burger from the apocalypse, and then feeding Daryl that dog food one. Ugh. Yeah.
Old Dwight's on Easy Street, huh? Yeah. Or is that Daryl?
We're not going to play that song, are we?
I think everybody's got sick of that song already. I think it got stuck in my head. So I was thinking about playing it as the outro of this episode, but I was no.
You want to keep listeners.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, or viewers now that we're on YouTube. Ooh, viewers. Yeah.
What do you mean now that we're on YouTube? Dude, bitch, we've been on YouTube for like 2 years now. What the hell?
Yeah, we need to keep our watchers. So. Yeah.
Hey, dude, speaking of. Our subscribers are going up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Why? Don't be sorry.
We could suggest something better for them to do on their off time.
Don't listen to this man. He's crazy. I didn't invite him to my house anyways.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dude, I miss watching Who's the Boss. That was such a good show when I was a kid. Damn. That was...
I just like it because it introduced me to Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
One of my first crushes.
Really? Aww.
Yeah. She's cute. And she got hot. She got older.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I like about her was because she didn't go crazy. You know, she didn't grow up to be, you know.
She didn't shave her head and rebel.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Liz Milano, come on, man. Mm. Yeah. Mm. All right. So, enough of you.
So, the cell, Daryl, yeah. Tortured. Fed nothing.
Well,
and
was
naked
he really,
in the cell.
I mean, torture is kind of he was in a cell naked. I mean, but they weren't really like.
Dude, hearing that song for days at a time.
It was psychological.
Psychological
torture.
Breakdown, dude. Yeah. A systematic destruction of the frontal lobes.
Yeah. I got that just from the times I was listening to that music. And that was just the first 15 minutes of the damn song or episode. So.
Yeah.
So, it kind of gives you a sense of where Daryl's been at. And how much time do you think has passed from the end of the first episode where he got dragged away? You think it's been a week? A few weeks?
It has to be no more than 2 or 3 weeks because judging by the trailer for next week's episode, that's where Rick is announcing to the group that he's not the leader anymore.
Right.
So if Negan hasn't even gone to them yet, it might just literally be a week.
That's what I was thinking. It might be a week. Because I think that's what Negan said. He was going to come back in a week. We got 1 week.
Yeah.
So
this whole thing, if the whole death happened that night towards the next morning, and then the whole Carol and Morgan thing happened within 2 days, so I'm guessing this is like the fourth day?
Well, this could happen concurrently with that episode. So, in which I think it did happen, actually. Give or take about a week that Daryl's been in this cell, listening to this music and getting shit or dog food sandwiches and I think in between all that they would take him out and kind of show him where he's at, what's going on. There's what's called a pin, which is just a bunch of walkers out there. Were there humans out there too, or just walkers? I think it's just walkers. No, there's because there's people like messing with the walkers too.
Yeah, they're trying to hang them up or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if it was like a physical challenge from American Gladiators or something.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either.
Like I was like, you're gonna send Daryl in the pit? dude, you're going to have an empty pit in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's not the best idea. So I don't understand the whole point of that, but whatever. It is what it is. It's just Negan being Negan, I guess.
Come to find out, most of the people in that pen were people that Dwight has killed himself. So throughout the episode, Dwight's looking at all these dead people and realizing that those are the people that he killed.
Is that
and
it's the case? Because at the end of the episode,
you know.
But that was just the one dude. Is that how it is for all those other guys? I didn't get that. I just got the sense.
Because in the beginning, when Dwight's eating that sandwich, he's staring out and looking at this pen, and they're hanging up a new guy in there, and he's reflecting on it. Hmm. And if he did the same thing with this new guy that he literally fast forward to closer to the end of the episode that he winds up killing, then I'm led to believe that most of these guys in the pen, Dwight did himself, and he's looking back like, is this shit really worth it?
Yeah.
Not to mention, that's nowhere near the worst that's happened to
Dwight.
Well,
we're gonna get to Dwight here in a minute, and what is going on with him. Okay, so we got Darryl. We'll kind of see where he's going. And this is, to me, this is just Negan trying to break down Darryl and trying to get him to join his cause, pretty much. That's what it comes down to. There's a really, really, I don't want to say intense scene, but it was just a really good scene just in general of Negan and Darryl in the room just kind of talking.
Oh, towards the end.
Towards the end. This is after this whole episode of because I don't want to spend too much time on it because Daryl's pretty much
he tries to escape. He finds the motive to escape. He gets warned not to. Yeah. He does it anyway. Threatened to get killed. Takes it like a man and decides, no, he's not going to get killed after all.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's right back in the cell.
Right.
And he's still getting advice. And then he gets taken to the room with Negan's quarters, I guess. And is given the one more opportunity.
He has got three options. Option one, you'd be one of the humans out there in the pen. Or you could be a walker out there in the pen. Or you can be living like a king. New shoes and everything.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Yeah. Which is a running theme from Negan's group because, you know, he's everywhere. What's your name?
Negan.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Negan.
Negan. Yeah, like everybody says Negan, yeah.
They ask Darryl, hey, all you got to do is answer the question. What's your name? And he responds.
After a long pause, Darryl.
Oh, dude, you son cannot, of a bitch. Dude cannot be broken.
Right?
Like, good Lord. And by then, like, seriously, between the whole episode, the whole tease of him actually getting beaten out there in front of all those poor motorcycles, then him getting teased about actually getting beaten again in Negan's quarters, the teases in the commercial breaks that there was a surprise guest that cast member was going to be in the Talking Dead afterwards. 9 times out of 10, it's somebody that's been killed off.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, just do it already. Fuck, we've had torture porn the first episode. Next week's episode is going to be 90 more minutes of fucking torture porn. There's not enough coke from last week's episode that's going to keep me up this long. Just kill him already. Fuck. And they still didn't do it. Like, dang.
Yeah. Did you think he was going to die in this episode?
I wouldn't. You know what? It would have been a cop-out to have killed... I think it would have been a cop-out to have Darryl killed in the Negan episode, even after he did what he did standing up for the rest of the group. I think it would have made more sense 3 episodes in for the reasoning that he displayed. If Darryl was killed this episode, I wouldn't have minded it.
Really?
Yeah. I would have bought it.
Well...
You're not going to break this guy.
If
you're not going to break him, then what the fuck are you wasting your time
for? And I kind of think that's like why Negan didn't kill him. Because normally, if this is any other dude, Negan would have killed that motherfucker. But
you think that's the ultimate win? Like, if Negan can break a guy like Darryl, then Negan's unfuckable.
I think it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge to him. And he's just kind of looking at this guy. And I think he was waiting for him to say Negan. Like, whenever he said, what's your name? And he looked up and he said, Darryl. I was like, oh, you son of a bitch. Nice knowing you, Darryl.
Yeah.
Anyway. But no, he said Darryl is to his ground. Negan didn't... Which we found out from the first episode, like, Negan doesn't get, like, angry and yell. Well, he does, but not, like... He doesn't take his anger out like that. He'll smile at you before he kills you. He's not going to be all pissed.
But he has to have reasoning to do what he does. He's not going
to
just...
But the thing is, he had reason to do that. He had reason to kill Darryl. And I think that's what you're saying.
But the win, the conquering, might be more valuable than him just ending up in the pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we might circle back around Darryl here in a minute. But another big character in this episode was Dwight. And this goes back to,
as I like to call him, Fiesta Brand Darryl. cheap ass Walgreens, great value knockoff motherfucker.
Dude, like, you know what? Lord. I was thinking, you know what? It's funny you say it because I was thinking that in that scene where we see him driving in on the motorcycle.
Motorcycle, his vest, his crossbow, long ass hair. Like, bro.
You ain't Daryl already. You ain't like, Daryl. Yeah. Just give it up.
No.
Okay, but Dwight, this goes back to, and they showed clips of this before the episode started of last season. With him and all this stuff that happened with him and Daryl.
Yeah, this wasn't the first time
they met up and everything. And we get what happened when they first met up with the two girls with Dwight. One was his wife. One was his wife's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Now we come to find out that they were actually trying to escape Negan. And that's why those other guys were coming in. Those were Negan's guys. They were capturing him. But one is his wife. The sister of his wife was actually promised to Negan. And that's why that's pretty much why they took off. She ended up getting killed in the whole thing. So basically when they came back, Dwight came to his senses, as Negan says, and armed to the face, I guess.
But he was supposed to die. But yeah. Then the hot wife suggested, hey, I'll marry you if you spare him.
Right.
Even though the sparing wasn't enough, Negan got a hot iron and now Dwight's what he looks like now.
Yeah, so it's... All that was needed to further understand, because before that, you kind of got a sense that Dwight, yeah, he's Negan's guy, but he kind of pauses and kind of looks at Daryl a certain way, like...
Like the Starscream to Megatron.
For Negan, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna get there at some point. Yeah. But before that revelation of what happened, we got a sense of that, yeah, he's Negan's guy, but he's double-thinking, like he's...
Second-guessing.
Yeah, he's second-guessing himself. And with all that exposition revealed, it's like, oh, okay. So we might have some kind of uprising, you know.
Yeah.
Dwight might revolt against Negan. I mean, that's a lot of shit. I mean, he has his wife, for God's sake. She's hot, too.
Not to mention, she failed a pregnancy test, so they're trying to make sure she doesn't get knocked up, maybe.
That's a thing. That's going to come back. That's going to be a thing. There's no reason why they'd mention that. In front of everybody, too, in front of Daryl.
Yeah.
These are good, even though you could say these episodes are like filler or whatever the case may be, but these were good exposition stories that needed to be told to lay the groundwork of what's going to happen. Because not only, like we just mentioned last episode with King Ezekiel, but they're plotting. They're plotting against...
So we have the kingdom, and then we have the hilltop.
Which you know,
Rick. Which Maggie's still on her way over there somehow to try to get better.
Right.
And then we still have Alexandria, and now we have Negan's quarter, Negan's area. I don't know what if there's.
Did
a,
you see? Well, real quick, did you see the clip for next week's episode? Well, no, I'm sorry. This is on Talking Dead, I think. This is like a clip, a scene for next week's episode, where it's basically Rick and Michonne. They're going to their house, and she goes up to the fireplace and goes underneath it and pulls out a big fucking automatic rifle. Puts it in the bag, and she's like walking out, and Rick's is kind of standing there.
Oh wow!
So so now we have this is a huge, it's like a fucking minigun or something. No, but it was. So now we have Rick's group, which as much as he's submissive to Negan, he's gonna play his cards right, and they're gonna do whatever they can to get out of this situation.
Yeah,
they're gonna be smarter about it.
If anything, Negan's probably in that room when he gives that speech, so that Negan can get the perspective that they're following him. When in fact,
I don't. So we have Alexandria, we have King Ezekiel, and we have
the hilltop.
The hilltop. But we also have what could possibly be a revolt from within with Dwight, Daryl. And whoever else we find out, because you mentioned it before, his friend that he had to go hunt down, which before he found him and he was dragging the motorcycle and all those bodies started falling and he started fighting off, and it cut to the next scene of him holding his. Did you think he got bit?
Yeah,
I did too. I was like, holy shit, they got. But no. So that was that was a tease, like a fake tease on purpose, I guess. But anyway, that guy that he was tracking down, he knew they were friends, and he was trying to get out. Like, the guy's like, we're doing good, and then some thug with a baseball bat comes in, and now we have to do whatever he says, and he was like, just kill me.
He's ready to die. Shoot. He got on his knees. Give it to me.
Yeah. And the thing with Dwight, him shooting in the back, I was like, oh, come on. Like,
well, the dude laid it out for him that Dwight's pretty much a little bitch.
Yeah.
And Dwight couldn't face him, so he wasn't going to kill him face to face. But at the same time, he had a job to do, so he wouldn't end up himself in the pit. Right. So he did what he had to do.
Yeah.
And that's the last scene where
But I think that is going to pile on top of everything else that we found out is going on with Dwight.
I think the foundation, not the foundation, but the thing that started to make everything unsettling, in my opinion, is probably when Daryl's like, you know, you have your reasons for why you're doing what you're doing. I have mine.
Right.
Which is why he hasn't broken yet.
Yeah.
And all that starting to like push his confidence over to where, you know what, this might not be the best thing that I'm doing right now. And pretty sure Morse was gonna come around to where he's gonna be put in position that Daryl, if he's dressing like this fool, there's gonna be a moment where you're gonna have to either make decisions that Daryl would do or just fuck off.
Yeah,
you know, and
Daryl's gonna get his shit back.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
One way or another, Daryl's gonna get his comeuppance. You know, so
yeah.
No, Daryl wouldn't get the comeuppance. Dwight would get his comeuppance. Whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah, some shit's gonna hit the fan.
Yeah. He even has Rick's gun. Did you notice that in a couple of scenes where Dwight was with the rest of the group? He had that huge ass revolver, Rick's revolver.
Was that his? Oh.
Yeah. Because remember, when they got captured, they took all the weapons.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's...
Or was it Carl's? Carl's had a gun, right?
Oh, fuck yeah.
But still, yeah. Shit's coming.
Yeah. But these two episodes are really good. Is there one like better than more than the other one? Or?
You know, it's easy to say the Daryl episode is better because Daryl's the badass that we're all like been invested in from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Carol's more been like a work in progress. But, dude, it wasn't Daryl specifically. I think the reason that the second episode was better, not just because it was a freaking like torture porn episode, was the relevance of another character. Like you can bring in characters, you can debut them on a show for the story, but if you don't hook us from the beginning, it kind of takes a while for us to get invested, and the time that it's taking for us to get invested kind of like puts other things on the show on the side. So the fact that they nailed King Ezekiel like head on by the end of the episode, there's a couple of episodes in these past seasons of Walking Dead where you can just watch it by itself, just that one episode, and it has a start, it has a middle, it has an end, and it's entertaining throughout. You know, my biggest example of that is the first season of Vatos. Where the Mexican gang take Glenn, and Daryl's like, dude, that was my only friend. I'm gonna kill these motherfuckers. And just beginning, middle, and end, and it like has a resolution. Right. And that by itself is a freaking awesome episode. Mm-hmm. I think the episode with King Ezekiel in the kingdom is right up there with me, that I can rewatch that on its own and just have it as an episode, and it's really good.
Do they live, Vatos?
We never got that answered.
If they survive, that needs to make a comeback. This guy's gonna come back and fuck some shit up.
Lowriders and everything.
There you go.
Against horses. Oh. we never really got a resolution from that. You know, because everybody moved out from that Atlanta area and went towards the prison. Well, they went to the CDC, then they went to the prison.
Right.
So yeah, dude.
Throwback to the first season, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you can do it. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I think that's gonna be it for this one,
man.
You know, I'll give this season credit so far, because usually on these last recent seasons when they start,
there's a lot of dullness.
They have a strong opener, and then the next two episodes fall flat. This has been consistent good storytelling. You know, maybe it's because we're more invested of that such a strong opening. We want to know what happened to these other characters.
Maybe they had a lot of pressure for. I honestly. In the last like 10 years of like television, I have never seen or heard such an uproar of people complain about a finale of a season the way Walking Dead fans complained
recently,
about the finale.
Yeah.
And they had all that pressure that they couldn't just like a one home run and go. Like you had to hit like a grand slam in every fucking inning. And right now,
I wanna say, there's a Negan joke in there somewhere.
Dude, I didn't even think about that. But right now it's like, and all right, got it. Another one. Okay, they got it. Like so far, like they're still in play. So, yeah. Hopefully that doesn't start with next week's episode, which I hope not, because it's 90 minutes.
It's 90 minutes, and it's going. And it's basically, if you want to think about it, it's episode 2 of Rick's group.
Yeah,
because we got this is
basically the three sections we have right now, right? It's Rick versus Negan, and then it's Carolyn Morgan, and then it's Daryl versus himself. I would say with himself, because like I mentioned earlier, the thread that binds Carol's lack of like will to live is like gone. Mm-hmm. Like he's like Morgan wants to keep her alive, and Carol's like, man, just fuck, man. I've been shot. Just let me die. This episode, especially at the, like halfway through it, when Dwight tossed the picture of Glenn in the cell, and Daryl like just threw it down, and then he like thought about it for a minute and started looking at it, and finally broke down. I think a part of me thought towards the end of the episode, the reason why I was okay if Daryl was gonna die, was because he kind of feels he's kind of mirroring. He's kind of mirroring Carol that right now he's like, you know what, dude, fuck, just off me, dude.
Yeah,
you know, because dude,
Do you think Daryl wants it right now? Because like he knows that all he's got to do is say his name is Negan, and he's in, and he flat out refused. Did you think that he did that because he thought he was going to die?
I think so, yeah.
Man, that could be the case. Maybe Negan's throwing a curveball.
Shit, and you know what? With this second episode coming, if they plant the seeds, dude, there's no guarantee that he'll be welcome when he goes back to the group. You know, who's to say that Maggie holds something something against Daryl? You know, so who knows? We're getting there.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. 7 seasons in, man, and they're still turning it. So we'll see. But I think that's gonna wrap it up for this week.
Wow, an hour of pop culture goodness,
right? Yeah. So I think we'll see how next week's episode goes. If it's more like the first episode, maybe we'll do it next week. Yeah. If not, we'll come
90
back
minutes. We might need to do its own. Yeah. Unless it's. Yeah. Sparse, then we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and if you have any suggestions for us, you know, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/popculturerewind. Follow us on Twitter at
popculturerwnd.
Ah, you son of a bitch! You got it. All right, you're here on our YouTube channel, so tell your friends, let people know. If you enjoyed us, if you leave us any feedback, put in the comment section below. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, you need to show off your shirt, bro. I know that was perfect timing that you're wearing the Walking Dead. Yeah.
I always get at least 1 or 2 ahas when I'm walking around. It's like, I get it. Yeah. So anyway, I thought it was an appropriate shirt to wear. I should have wore it on our last episode, but
he should have a cowbell sticking out under his head. That'd make even more references.
It's on the back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you look.
Ah, you son of a bitch!
All right, everybody. Always remember to pop your culture.
I don't know what the hand signal for culture is, so I just went like that.
You can figure it out one of these days. You son of a bitch.
Top guys, out. Yeah.